Hello, this is Ellen McLean, the voice of GLaDOS, and you are listening to the Pop Zara podcast.
Culture.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Pop Zara podcast. My name is Grayson Hamilton. Always happy to have you back, especially for this special interview we have here at Pop Zara. One of the most fun interviews that I will ever get to do in my lifetime, definitely. With me today is Ellen McLean. Now, for a lot of you out there, it might sound like you don't know that name, but you actually know it quite well. For all the gamers out there, she is the voice actress behind the famous GLaDOS voice from the Portal franchise, as well as the artificial voice from Pacific Rim and several other Valve-related games. But she is here today to talk with us about her actual film that is coming out, actually, I think, later today. I think it will be on digital release, called Winning Dad, a fantastic film about a personal journey between a father and his conservative son, marriage equality, and coming to accept people for gender equality as well. Ellen McLean is here today to talk with us. Ellen, it is an honor to have you here. How are you?
Well, I'm doing so well, Grace, and I'm so pleased to speak with you because, you know, I want everybody to see Winning Dad. It is, besides being just a wonderful, entertaining movie, I think it also will demystify gay relationships for a lot of people. And it's about a family. And, of course, you know, the mother and father, son, daughter, and it's about the son's boyfriend and whether the son and the boyfriend are going to get married or not. So, you know, that's sort of it in a nutshell. And I love the film. I was so pleased to be asked to do it by the writer and director, Arthur Allen. And, you know, I can't say enough about it. So what do you want to know?
Well, that's a great place to start. First off, how did you come to be involved in the film? What started that whole process?
Well, you know, I live in Seattle. Arthur Allen lives in Seattle, and we're both actors in the Northwest Puget Sound area. And Arthur and I had met at a benefit for a young girl. She had vision difficulties. She was blind, and we met at a benefit, and we just hit it off. We just hit it off. Arthur and I hit it off, and then about, I would say, 2 years after this, you know, it's kind of like Arthur knew who I was, I knew who Arthur was, but our paths really didn't cross. But I got a telephone call from a mutual friend, Ernie Pino, saying that Arthur Allen wanted my number because he wanted to talk to me about a film. And so I said, well, sure. I knew who Arthur was. And I said, sure, Ernie, have Arthur call me. And so Arthur called me. We set up a meeting. It was during the summer of 2011. And we got to talking. And even before he gave me the script, he said, I want you to do this film. I want you to play the mother in the film. And I said, yes. And he said, no, Ellen, don't say yes until you read the script. But I am telling you, Arthur Allen is a person that you want to say yes to and that it is impossible to say no to. And so I said, yes, I want to do this film. And he said, no, go home, read the script. Well, I did. I went home, I read the script, and I said an even more enthusiastic, yes, I want to do this. I was weeping at the end of the script. And it's beautifully written. And, you know, Arthur is gay. And, you know, so he is writing a subject that he knows a lot about. He's also a wonderful writer. He's a wonderful actor. He is in the film. Of course, he plays my son. My son is Colby Clark, mm-hmm. and that's played by the actor Jake Street. Arthur plays Rusty, you know, who is my son's boyfriend, you know, mm-hmm. slash lover, slash hopefully fiancé. And it was wonderful. The other thing that I want to talk about is that, you know, that's how I got in the project. When Arthur was talking to me at this, you know, outside cafe, telling me about the project, he said, well, I've gotten a man to, you know, play your husband. You probably don't know him. His name is Chuck Seigers. And I said, are you kidding me? He's the husband of my longtime friend, Julie K. Seigers. Because I don't know if you know this, Grayson, but I've also sung a lot of opera. And Julie
really?
Kay, yes, and Julie Kay was my friend in the opera world here. So I, of course, knew her husband. We were very good friends. We performed together so many times. So I knew Chuck, and I said, oh, that's Julie Kay's husband, sure. And then... the fellow who plays Kyle is—he's quite young, you know. He's in his early 30s. I know him, Brian Earp. The fellow who plays sort of Rusty's go-to date after, well, I shouldn't give away. I'm giving away things, but anyway, another actor in the film is Dan Connor, who I've known for a long time. So, you know, not only the cast, but people on the crew, both of my nephews, Mario and Alessandro Allegranzi, worked on the film. I actually found the cinematographer because my husband, John, did work on a game called Planetary Annihilation, and we... met Julia through that project. I was at a party, and Julia and I were like, you know, one of a handful of women at the party. So, of course, I got talking to Julia, and I found out that she had done all the cinematography for the Planetary Annihilation project. And I just loved her. And then I said, Arthur, you've got to meet Julia Brooke. Well, he did, and, you know, Julia ended up being the cinematographer for Winning Dad. And then, of course, you know, the producer, Case's parents very nicely donated their home to be the home of the Clarks. You know, Lisa and Michael Clark and their son Colby and our beautiful daughter Jamie Clark, played by Megan Jackson, who, I mean, it's a wonderful cast, really a wonderful cast. And Case Barden, our producer, his wonderful parents, and you know, so much so that in my sewing room, in my house, actually the Barden home, but in my house in the film, there were things that were very similar to our sewing room at our house in Nashville, Tennessee, because I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And it was wonderful how our, set designer and set dresser, Chell Hansen, picked things from Mrs. Barden and put them in the sewing room that were things that just resonated with me on a very personal level, because we had always sewn. My mother taught us how to sew, my sisters and me. So there are wonderful things in the film that, of course, aren't going to be obvious to a viewer, you know, a one-time viewer. But this film was put together with such love and such care, and I'm so proud to have been involved with it, and it was a joy from that first meeting with Arthur Allen to the wrap party. It was a total joy. And of course we had, I mean, it's been at several film festivals, but of course the official premiere was in October at the Seattle LGBT Film Festival. And everybody came, and my two nephews came. Then, you know, one of my nephews lives in Barcelona, and my other nephew lives in Atlanta, and everybody came in for the premiere, and oh my gosh, that was so wonderful to sit in the Egyptian Theater up on Capitol Hill. It's one of the venues for the Seattle International Film Festival, and of course they very graciously worked out a deal with the Seattle LGBT Film Festival. You know, there's lots of overlap, trust me, between those film festivals and the people who run them. And what a thrill to have the whole cast and crew there to see it on the big screen. And of course, as you said initially, Grayson, Winning Dad has been released. I know it's on Netflix. I know it's on Amazon. And, you know, I like to tell everybody I'm a technophobe. You know, I just turned 63, just a few days ago.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And so I'm a Sagittarian. If anybody wants to know, I'm a Sagittarian and I'm pretty typical. All this technical stuff is a little bit difficult for me, but I'm sure, Grayson, that you know all of that stuff about how people can see Winning Dad.
Absolutely. And I wanted, like you mentioned earlier, this is definitely a very personal project from the writer and director, Arthur Allen. And it's a very... It isn't a comedy, but there are definitely a lot of funny moments that happen in this film.
Have you seen it? Because it is very funny at times.
And what what I wanted to ask you is, I know being such a personal project for Arthur Allen, did you feel that there was a personal attachment for you in it? Was there something besides the plot, besides everything about it, about this film that spoke to you personally, that made you feel obligated to be a part of this project?
Well, I just want to say for everybody, who doesn't have someone in their circle of family or friends who is gay? Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, if you think you are one of the people in the world who doesn't know somebody who is gay, you're wrong. Because everybody knows somebody who is gay. And I have, family who are homosexual, and I certainly have friends who are homosexual. And I was speaking from experience in that I want all of my friends and family to be able to love who they love openly and with pride and with joy, with great joy, and to be supported in their love by their communities, which is, you know, which is our families and which is our friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very personally attached to this material.
Mm. And one of the things, and beyond the hiking trip, the plot itself is about really convincing Arthur's father, who has some older prejudices.
My son, so Colby,
mm-hmm.
to convince my son Colby's father that, you know, because my husband, you know, in the film, my husband Michael Clark,
mm-hmm.
knows that our son is gay. You know, our son came out to us.
Yes.
Because, you know, our son is in his early 30s. And so our son has come out to us, but our son has never really been in love before,
mm-hmm.
until he meets Rusty, and has really never felt comfortable introducing any of his gay friends to his father. And I've met them, and I've met Rusty, but this film is about our son Colby finding the courage to introduce his lover, boyfriend, hopefully fiancé, to his father. And the repercussions of that, which is very funny at times, but also there's you know, you don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not going to give away the end.
Well, I would certainly hope not, because you want people to go to see this film.
Sure, and that... I will tell everybody listening that there are some surprises. There are some surprises. So you have to see it to find out exactly what happens.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about this, that you are you're an opera singer and a singing teacher, actually.
Yes.
I guess I find that incredibly interesting. How did you come into teaching that? Have you always been a fan of singing?
I have known that I was going to be a singer, that I wanted to be a singer since about age 5. I have known that I wanted to be a singer. At that time, you know, when you're a little child, you don't know where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
But I did go to school. High school. I went to an arts high school in North Carolina, North Carolina School of the Arts. I went to New England Conservatory in Boston for my bachelor's and master's degree in music, focusing on opera. Then I moved to New York, and I started, you know, auditioning for opera, working in opera. I also auditioned in music theater. So I always knew that I wanted to do the singing. When my husband and I moved here in Seattle in 89, he immediately got a voiceover demo. And he kept encouraging me to get one. But I was so busy doing opera and doing music theater, you know, stage work and teaching, that I didn't have time. And I said, no, I don't have time. Well, finally in 2002, there was a little bit of a lull. And I said, okay, I'll get a voice demo. I'll never work in the business. They just want men. They won't like my voice. I won't work. I got a voice demo. I got an agent, and I immediately got work. So that is my lesson to everyone listening. Never say never. Because as long as you follow your dreams, as long as you work toward doing what you love, and for me that was singing, quite frankly, you don't know where you're going to end up. But you're going to have fun along the way. You're going to have lots of fun along the way. And I have had lots of fun along the way. And here I am, famous for being a homicidal computer.
And I have to say, you played an excellent homicidal computer, but you certainly right now don't sound like you're homicidal at all, and I'm very happy about that.
Usually I'm not. But if you spoke to my husband, John Patrick Lowry, who is the voice of the sniper in Team Fortress 2, he would argue with me a little bit, because he has seen me in homicidal moods. And if I were not a cute little old slow-moving old lady, I may have acted on my homicidal tendencies. I just think that I haven't, because it would be too difficult.
I can certainly understand. And, Ellen, before we go, I do want to ask, because, and this is for... for my nerdier side out there, can you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how you found your way into becoming GLaDOS? You've done a lot of work with the video game company Valve, who's there in Seattle. Can you tell us how they found you? Was it part of this of the voiceover demo that started this whole process?
Well, it was once I got the voiceover demo and got an agent, the Actors Group, Jamie Lopez, I started getting auditions. And the way it works is you are emailed auditions, and we have, you know, a small little home studio, nothing fancy, but we do all of our auditions from our little, you know, den / home studio. And I did an audition. I guess I did Half-Life 2 first. I'm the voice of Overwatch mm-hmm. in Half-Life 2. And then I guess I did the administrator in Team Fortress 2. So Valve certainly knew about me. So when I did the audition for Portal, I did it here. You know, they said with the audition, please, and they sent an MP3 file with it that had a computer-generated voice, and they said, as you're doing the audition, please sound as much like this computer-generated voice as you possibly can. So that's what I did, and I guess I did it, you know, well enough that they thought, oh yeah, well, she can sound like a computer. Let's hire Ellen. So they did know me. They mm-hmm. knew me before I got GLaDOS. But I did do an audition. I mean, it's just always an audition. I have to say, I didn't do an audition for Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro's film, because he wanted the GLaDOS voice. And he worked it out with Gabe Newell, and he said, I want to use the GLaDOS voice in Pacific Rim for Gypsy Danger. And Gabe Newell said, well, if you do, you have to use Ellen McClain. Mm-hmm. So I got an email from Del Toro's production people, and I did that film. Now, ultimately, Del Toro did not process my voice as in the same way. I will say in the same way as Valve processes my voice for GLaDOS. But the readings that I did in the studio are absolutely GLaDOS readings, because that's what Del Toro wanted. Mm-hmm. And the man is a genius, so I tried to do exactly what he asked me to do.
I think you did a phenomenal job. And
well,
I must say
thank you, Grayson.
I must say, and I think there's a lot of other my fellow friends and gamers out there that must say, congratulations, and you did a fantastic job of essentially bringing to life one of the creepiest artificial intelligence ever really conceived. So for that, we say thank you.
I'm so glad that I'm creepy. Listen, I had, you know, everyone should know, I had enormous fun. Every time I work with Valve, I have fun. You know, the writers, Eric Wolpaw and Jay Pinkerton and Mark Laidlaw for Half-Life 2 and Chet Falasek for the, you know, extended Portal 2 mm-hmm. and Bill Van and Buren, and I mean everybody that I worked with in the studio are just great, great fun, incredibly creative, really wonderful people. And you know, every time I've worked with Valve, I've just had the best time and lots of laughter. And when Eric Wolpaw and Jay Pinkerton and Chet Palasek told me that I was going to be a potato, I just guffawed. I just thought, and that I was going to be a potato battery. And that if I got too angry, I'd short out.
Yes, you were a homicidal potato battery.
I was a homicidal potato battery. Well, and I have to say that I have on my wall, I went to a fan convention, and I have on my wall a cross-stitch potato battery on my wall that a young woman in Buffalo, New York made for me. and it, I'm looking at it right now. My cross-stitch potatoes. She's right up there. Hello.
And that
can
will,
you hear me?
And that will be one of the best memories I think you will ever have.
It says, because I'm a potato.
Yeah.
And it's up on my wall. I'm looking at my cross-stitch potato.
Well, before we get out of here, Ellen, and by the way, thank you so much for being here with us today. I just want to let you, is there anything else that you really, that you'd like to tell us about Winning Dad that, before we get out here, anything that you'd like to say?
Winning Dad is a story about a family. And I don't care where you live, where you're from, what you do for a living, who you are, you will find things in the film Winning Dad which ring true for you. Because we all have families. And we all learn from our families and teach our families. And it's a family story. And I think anyone who has a family will relate to Winning Dad.
I think that there's nothing that you could have said better. I think that is beautiful. And I have to echo that. And for everyone out there, I say, Winning Dad, it is out there. Please take some time to watch this. It is a very emotional, very funny tale that I think deserves to be seen by everyone. And again, Ellen McLean, it is an honor. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
You are so welcome, Grayson. My pleasure.
Everyone out there listening, again, this is the Pop Czar Podcast. My name is Grayson Hamilton. Thanks for listening, and hey, we'll see you in the next level.